Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Connect, solve painful problems, raise amazing adults, and have healthy families. Welcome to the Sean Donahue Show. Jordan and I do this podcast because we want your family to be close and connected. And we want you to feel empowered and equipped in your most important job, the most important job in the world. Let's go deeper than this podcast. Head to my website, ParentingModernTeens.com, and get my email straight to your inbox. And when you're ready to go deep and get serious coaching from me, join me in my VIP membership. Parents are teachers, and every home is a school. So teach well, love well. All right. Let's have some fun together.
Oh, my fellow parents, we're going to have some fun today. Some fun. We're going to look at this really interesting research report that's out of Pew Research Center. It's entitled Parenting in America Today. Jordan, fill in that sentence. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Parenting in America Today, dot, dot, dot.
Ooh, parenting in America today is so difficult because tech is everywhere.
First thing to think of, yeah. Parenting in America today is so hard and confusing because, just these screens and technology. And
the emotions.
That's the first thing I think of too. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The emotions. It's like you can't even throw your own wisdom on your kids anymore because they're like, nah, dad, I just Googled it and here's the answer. And you're like, wait a second.
I know, YouTube.
I'm supposed to be the smart one here.
Right. YouTube becomes their parent and Snapchat becomes their social link. So, Pew Research Center is legit, everybody. They do some great work. You've heard of these think tanks? Well, Pew Research Center is a nonpartisan, non-advocacy fact tank that informs the public about the issues, attitudes, and trends shaping the world. It does not take policy positions, so we're going to have fun today. Here's what we're going to do. In a really kind of fun way, I'm going to read some of the research and the reports that Pew is announcing. And I'm going to do it in a way so you can... You, as you're listening here, you can compare yourself. Does your answer, does your parenting, does your family meet up with the norms of the research and the common, I guess, most popular answers? And you can kind of learn about how your answers respond and how your parenting might be this way or that way. And I think it's going to be really fun. We have a lot of juicy stuff to talk about today.
Yeah. It'll let us know whether we're kind of part of the norm or abnorm. You know, maybe we're above everybody else. Maybe we're below everybody else. But it'll be cool to learn what the norms are. And I think we could tell too, but we'll see.
And I think sometimes, I think partly why people listen to podcasts is because even just setting your mind on important things, setting your mind on parenting, it just gives you, it's just inspirational. It's just encouraging. It just helps us to be, you know, the best parents we want to be. And that's why I love you, Jordan. I love being here with you. And let's have some fun making a podcast.
Amen, brother. Let's do it. All right. So what are some of these stats saying?
Okay. Before we do, I want to give a shout out to somebody on Instagram wrote us. Her name is Holly Yo Holly Golly. And she just wrote this about a recent podcast we recorded. She writes, your podcast about how to have a great summer with your kids was so incredibly helpful. Can't wait to implement these ideas. And I just thought that was really nice.
Thank you. Really nice. I can't wait to hear what you do with your kids this summer. That's exciting.
Look, yeah, we got we've got followers. Here we go. Remember this jam? Remember that jam from Will Smith in the late
1990s?
It's like summertime.
You know, we've got listeners. I always think getting jiggy with it.
For all around the world in dozens and dozens of countries. And we just love hearing from you. So if you are listening to this podcast, please comment on my IG videos or go and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. and share a couple words about how this podcast is helping you, inspiring you. And I say this a lot. Doing this podcast is incredibly isolating. It's literally just Jordan and I here in our homes making this up as we go. And yeah, we don't get much feedback at all. And so the more we hear from you, we love it. It encourages us. And it's so wonderful. One of my favorite things, Jordan, has become, and I say this with just tons of humility, is people are stopping me on the streets quite a bit now, like around town.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So funny.
And I was in Mexico on vacation recently and had like numerous people stop me in the airports and in the different countries, just thanking me for the videos and some about the podcast. And I just want to share that with you and say thank you.
That's cool.
And I want to share that with everyone listening. And thanks for just letting me, Jordan and I, be a part of your life.
Yeah, that's always so weird when you're just kind of like doing your own thing and someone says, hey, Sean Donnie, the parent coach. You're like, oh, geez. Hey, what am I doing right now? Hopefully it's nothing awkward. It's like just picking my nose or something.
At the beginning, it was weird. Now I just am so grateful because it's just making these videos and doing this podcast can be kind of isolating. You're walking down the streets, walking your dog and making a video. And now here we are, just you and I, just really glad to be here with you. Thank you.
Me too. And we're helping, you're helping so many people. So, all right, let's figure out why.
All right. So first, here's a couple details. This is from Pew. They said how we did this. So Pew Research Center conducted this survey to better understand how American parents approach parenting. This analysis is based on 3,757 U.S. parents with children ages under 18. The data is collected as part of a survey of parents with children younger than 18 around October of 2022. And then essentially what they did is that they have four different sections of this and what they do is they give you the general results and then they kind of broke it down into gender parenting, race, ethnicity in parenting, and income parenting. But for the sake of just simplicity, we're just going to focus on the main results. Like this is So imagine if you live if you're in a certain socioeconomic bracket, you're going to be hearing from all the brackets. If you're a different race or gender, you're going to hear from everybody. So the first big question that they asked is actually super appropriate. They asked parents, and let me ask you, I'll put you here on the spot. This is how we're going to play. Everyone ask yourselves, and I'm going to ask Jordan here live. All right, man, we got a lot of concerns as parents. We're scared. We're worried about our kids. I love to talk about this. I think we are a generation of scared parents. We are a generation of overwhelmed parents. And what is the number one concern that we have as parents? What did the survey say? So it's almost like a
game there's no show. Category. So this is just open.
Survey
form.
Says, 4 in 10 parents said, this is my number one concern. What do you think they said?
It changes as kids get older. It was like, are they going to be self-sufficient and strong, and more of taking a leadership role? Now it's like, are they going to be able to get a job with everything going to AI and tech? Like, can they be self-sufficient? So that's kind of where my head's at right now.
So there's another question that's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes. And that was the number one answer that parents said, job.
Okay.
Can they get a really good job? But that is not the number one concern or worry. The question is,
will my kids make friends?
So let's see. Is it even on the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? No, that is not on the top 8. Is my kid going to get a job when they're older? Worries. So friends, no, not on there. No. Number one worry is 4 in 10, 40% of parents said they are extremely worried about, is my child going to suffer from anxiety or depression? Of parents saying they are extremely worried that each of the following is happening to any of their children at some point. 36% said they are somewhat worried. And 23%, nope, I'm not worried at all. Number two is something that you've talked about on this show a lot. I'm really glad you have. Number two concern, being bullied.
Bullied, which kind of gets linked with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bullying is definitely up there. And I was thinking about that one too. And actually, I just had a conversation with my kids about it because I just got back from my 20-year high school reunion, which was hilarious, by the way. Okay.
I knew Jordan so when funny. He was a freshman in high school. I'm 7 years older. I knew all
Dude, I went friends. To the steps where I met you. I was like, this is where I met Sean.
Yes. Oh, okay. Tell us what's your biggest takeaway from being in San Diego, hometown, 20-year high school
the reunion. The biggest takeaway, everybody said, is this weird? And I said, you know what? This is beautiful. Like, my kids are now playing with people I used to hang out with kids. Maybe I got in trouble with you. Maybe we got good grades together. Maybe we did theater together. Oh, and now our kids are playing together. So, like, the fact that we're all getting older and life is happening, I think is the coolest thing about it.
Yes.
But there was a moment we were driving and our kids go, hey, Mom, Dad, did you ever get bullied? And I said, of course we did.
Wow.
Everybody gets bullied.
They asked that.
Yes, they both asked. They were shocked. Like, what? You got bullied? And I'm like, yes. I was like, school is all about figuring out how to be a chameleon and not allow the bully to attack more than once. Mm. You just sly and let it bounce off you, and then their focus goes somewhere else. Don't be the one they pick on.
Man,
they were shocked about that.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, of course, we talked a little bit about bullying growing up, but now everybody knows like how devastating it is for some kids.
We all got picked on, right? Like getting picked on now is considered being bullied.
Even you can be picked on by your own friends. Like middle school boys are ruthless to each other. Middle school girls are they can be such backstabbers. That's a part of adolescence, part of growing up. But like you said, it's a part of adapting to this.
Adapting.
Yeah.
So
now,
important.
Here's what we're going to do. There's in each of these survey responses that I found, there's always one that I found to be very surprising. And there's some that I find very disturbing. And so here's one that I found disturbing and surprising. And I want to share my opinion and get your opinion on it. All right. So far we're at number one struggle parents have is an internal. My child's internally struggling with their emotions, right? Depression. Number two, being bullied.
Okay.
And number three, of all the things on here, I find very shocking. Think of all the things that could be on here. Things that aren't number three. Being beat up or attacked, having problems with drugs or alcohol, getting shot, getting someone pregnant, or getting pregnant, getting in trouble with the police. All right, these are all things. These are all top eight lists, but it's not number three. Number three is being kidnapped or abducted.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's not
I would
three.
Have not put that in the top eight at all.
Right, what is going on with American parents around the country? Lots of parents in this survey, and they are really afraid of their kid being kidnapped or abducted. 28% said, I'm extremely worried about that. 31% said somewhat worried. So if you're talking about if you add those numbers up, that's 59% are pretty dang worried about their child being kidnapped or abducted. Now, I don't want to judge these parents. I just want to be curious. And then 41%, I'm not at all or not too worried about that. So for me, I am not too worried about that. But does that tell you about the neighborhood
I
live in?
Well, I was thinking, that big movie that came out? It was called The Sound of Freedom. And it was about that. It was about sex trafficking. Right.
I haven't seen but I've heard it's incredible.
That didn't come out till 2023. This survey was done in 2022. But then you've got like more recently, Tim Tebow just went to the U.S. Capitol and was talking about sex trafficking to senators in the House.
Yeah.
And I think it's becoming more prevalent. I'm at the airport in Atlanta and it says, hey, and there are signs everywhere. You know, this is what, you know, predators would say.
Right.
And but so I just think there's more of an awareness.
Good. This is good awareness for making it right now. But let me play the other side of the coin, okay?
Okay.
Can you do me a favor? As I talk right now, can you Google on your phone and Google what percentage of children are kidnapped?
Okay.
Something like that. So here's what the other side of the coin is that
in the US?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, in the US or abducted. And let's see what Google says. Maybe Google now has AI built into it, so you probably get your answer pretty quickly.
Yes, it does.
Here's my thoughts.
It says one in 720,000 or close to one in a million.
Right.
Are kidnapped. Ages between 0 and 17.
And that's in America.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, in the U.S.
And so, and then it would make me wonder, okay, there has to be like certain communities or places where kids are more kidnapped than others. Like in my neighborhoods, my children are not typically kidnapped. So it's already a one close to a million. And so this is...
Well, and then, okay, so as I look at other stats, childwatch.org estimated 800,000 children are reported missing each year.
Yeah, missing, but that could be runaway. I mean, I work with a lot of families and their kids are running away and because they're like, you took my phone away. And
this number three said what? They're worried about their kids being abducted. Is that what number three was? Kidnapped.
Number three, because here's the other side of the coin. Like we've grown up here as adults, our adult experience for the last 15 years, we've been watching Facebook and we've been listening to the news. And the news has become much more click-worthy and they understand scare tactics. And if there's a child that's kidnapped seven states away or missing, they're going to make a news report out of it. And they're going to say, here's, and then they're going to follow up with like seven things you need to do so your kid doesn't get kidnapped. And they're just going to scare you. And so it makes me wonder how much has all this exposure to negative media played on our fears and it made us a generation of scared parents. We're afraid of letting our kid ride their bike to the park or ride or walk to their school because we're so afraid of kidnapping. And the question now I would wonder is maybe I'll Google this as you talk. Are kids kidnapped more today than they were, let's say 20 years ago when you were in high school? I would think that more kids are because there's more kids alive, right? There's more kids around. Right. So if you say like, yes, this many kids are kidnapped. Well, yeah, that's because there's this many more kids alive, right? So the ratio.
Yeah.
But are kidnappings going up or is just exposure and fear to kidnappings growing up? I want to say in a wise way, I just do not think it's healthy for the majority of parents to be afraid of their kid being kidnapped. It's not good for the child. It's not good for your mental health. It's not good for your sleep patterns. But now keep this in mind. I don't know where you live. I just don't know if this is good for us. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, it's not like us as parents ever not think about that. Or let me say it in a different way. I think about that with my kids all the time, but I'm not going to let that hinder what I let them do. Now, I will make wise decisions on what they do. Mm-hmm. And guys, these days with tech, it's unbelievable. These air tags you can get, the smaller they're becoming, you could put them in their shoes. You could put them in their backpacks. You can find ways to make it to where you feel comfortable into knowing where they are so that if something did happen, you could at least pull it up on your phone and be like, hey, I know where my kid is. Right? Watches nowadays that can triangulate their position. And I know it's kind of creepy because it's like, I'm always keeping an eye on them. But remember back in the day, like, I mean, you had a dang triangle that could ring when you're out playing on the farm and saying, okay, it's dinner time. Now I know the farm is different than the city, but what I'm saying is there were a lot of times when even my parents were out, my grandparents had no idea where they were till after dark. So, I mean, we just have to find a way for us to get comfortable with it because it is concerning. I think about it too, but people, I do things to
people
maybe—
People say times have changed. Times have changed. And so my response to that is, yes, of course they've changed, but what's changed? Is it the parents have changed and the parents are more afraid now? Or is it really like we have a lot more kidnappers out there walking the streets? Is that what's changed? I don't have the research in front of me, but I'd like to believe that I think we don't have as many, you know, the kidnappers walking the streets. We have a lot of scared parents out there. I even type into Google how many children were kidnapped in 1990. And now I'm not just going to sit here and go through these numbers, but I think that's enough. Should we move on to the next thing in the survey?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Here we go. All right. Percentage of parents saying this, being a parent is blank. Being a parent is blank aspects to who they are as a person. Okay. So
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
What?
Option A, being a parent is the most important aspect to who I am as a person.
Okay.
Or B, being a parent is one of the most important aspects to who I am as a person. What do you think the number one answer is? Being a parent is the most important part of who I am, or being a parent is one of the most important parts of being who I am?
I would think people would answer it as the latter, one of the most.
57% of parents said it's one of the most important. Right. 30% says it's the most important aspect to who I am. And it makes right. you wonder, like, if you're a stay-at-home parent and you're taking a survey, it kind of would make sense. You're like, yep, that's the most important thing. Like, especially if you have young children, there's no judgments. Like, you know, if you, you know, we don't need to get into the pros and cons, but like, okay, you know, what the dangers of these answers. How about next one? How would you rate the job you do as a parent?
Ooh, this is good.
Excellent or very good? There's only two options. Excellent or very good. How many parents do you think picked excellent? What percentage picked excellent?
33.
And how many do you think you picked very good?
I mean, I think you'd have the rest, 66.
Okay. No. 16% said excellent.
Oh, okay. So less than 20%. All right.
I don't think I'm like the family coach, and I would not say excellent for myself.
I don't think a lot of us would. That's why it's so low. Yeah, you would just put very good. But being excellent.
What does that tell you about a parent who checked excellence? That's kind of shady.
it's like, damn, it's like, I look good. I know I'm a 10.
I know. I'm an excellent parent.
It's like, you need to be humble.
Look at my kids. Like, if you wrote excellent, you've probably got some problems. Yeah. That's our social commentary. All right. Being a parent has blank. All right. Being a parent has been a lot harder compared to how I thought being a parent would be, or being a parent is somewhat harder.
Well, that depends on what stage of life you're in. I would say when I first had my kids, it was a lot harder, and now it's somewhat harder.
Oh, interesting.
Because you go from being, you know, with no one, just your spouse and maybe a dog. Right. And then you have this other being there. I was like, oh my gosh. And then you don't sleep and you got to still work. And you know what I mean?
I totally agree. That's why one of the most comforting things I think I like saying to my friends and even clients who have kids kind of like 7 and under is like, this is hard. Like the naps, the two naps a day, the tantrums, the emotions. I agree with you.
It's funny though. You get older and you look back at those with 7-year-olds or younger, you're like, gosh, you have it so easy. I have teenagers now.
I know. That's how a lot of people feel. All right. All right. How about this? All right. Parenting styles. I really like this one. All right. What did the research say about parenting styles? When asked whether they're a parent who tends to stick to their guns too much or give in too quickly, praise or criticize their children too much, be overprotective or give too much children, push their children too hard or not enough? You ready to hear what people said? Okay. All right. Ask yourself. All right. Percentage of parents saying they are a parent who tends to give too much freedom or be overprotective. Which one do you think? This is a pretty big difference here.
Too much freedom.
So you think the majority of 2024 parents or 2020 parents said, oh, I'm giving my kids too much freedom.
I think so.
Okay. Why do you think that?
Because I think it's so easy to just put them on a phone or put them on an iPad and put them in the corner. Right. And so when you don't give them freedom, you're being asked as a parent to step up your game and interact with them. And sometimes you're so overwhelmed, you just need to get dinner done, go through bills, wash the car, whatever, clean the house, and you need them to just... Okay. So that's my thought process. Or you're grounded tomorrow and then you don't ground them.
You're dead wrong, dude.
Really?
You're
way off. I see it. It's anecdotal, but I see it all the time.
I'm going to get salty right now because I'm really vibing with you. 45% of parents that took this survey said, I'm overprotective.
Yep, but I think they're looking at maybe just, you know, one category of being overprotective.
They're giving their kids screens and social media, and then they're saying I'm overprotective.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Like, I know who they're friends with. I let them go out only a little bit. You know, it's like,
And 34%, I'm neither. Right? Which one are you, everybody? Ask yourself this next question. What type of parent are you? Do you give in too quickly, or do you stick to your guns too much?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one.
Which one?
Me, for guys.
I definitely give in too quickly. I give in too
quickly. Moms give in too quickly.
I give in too quickly. Right? I do.
Dads, I do too sometimes. You do? Actually, let's be honest, Jordan. Majority of the time.
I don't stick.
When I stick to my guns, it becomes a huge ordeal.
I know.
I'm trying to stick to my guns and it becomes a huge ordeal. I'm like, it's just easier to let it go.
It's so much harder too with older teenagers because you're sticking to your guns. It means they're really coming at you over and over.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself like, okay, is this the battle I want to pick?
Am I being a bad dad?
Right. Am I hurting the relationship right now? If I stick to my guns here, are they going to start lying to me? Are they going to go behind my back?
Right.
I feel like.
Right.
Right. And then if you have younger kids, if you stick to your guns, you're getting the temper tantrum and the whininess. It's so tough to stick to your guns. It's so tough.
Where's this gray meat? I don't know where we need to be, but.
Okay. This next question. This is so applicable. How would you answer this, everybody? All right. You're a parent. You have a survey and you would say, nope, I do not push my children hard enough. Or I push my children too hard. What is your response? You push your children too hard or not enough? Or you could go neither, of course.
I'm neither.
Neither.
I'm neither.
I feel neither too. Biggest answer was neither. So that means 45% of parents said I'm right in that sweet spot. And then 30% says I don't push them hard enough. And 25% I push them too hard. Right? Now, how about this one? Praise too much? Criticize too much or neither? What's your answer there?
Neither. I don't know. I was just playing tennis with my kids and I was like, what are you guys doing? Where are you hitting the ball? Come on, get it straight. What's wrong with you? You know, so I was like criticizing too much when I should have been like, good job, way to go. And I'm like, maybe I criticize too much, but I don't. I think I'm neither. That was just that day.
Yeah. Remember, this is a great, great tool. This has got to be one of my top 10 things I think about in my family life, my marriage. It's the 5-to-1 ratio, right? It's like, we are going to have those critical moments. We need to be coaching our kids. We need to be correcting them. We need to be guiding them. But, you know, with our kids, we've got to earn the right to be heard. And you got to remember these cliches, like, you know, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. Connection before correction. So, yeah, for me, it's neither either. Neither also. Neither either. Yeah. All right, let's move on. All right, I really like this one. This is another one where I think it would be very thought-provoking, okay? All right. Comparable shares of raising their kids. All right. Are you raising your kids? Let me resay it again. Are you raising your kids similar to how you were raised or differently from your own upbringing? All right. Now, if you listen to this podcast.
You're doing it differently.
You're doing it differently, right?
That's right.
You're doing it differently. Oh my gosh, so different. So different. At first, when I started, remember when we first started making this podcast, I was like really concerned, like, what if my parents listen to this? Like, how do I honor my parents with telling my own story? And I remember my mom, she's not listening to this, thank God, so I can say this. I was like, gosh, if she hears this, this is going to break her heart. And she sent me some, she had some strong words for me about this podcast. I almost said nasty emails, so then I took it back. And I was like talking to my wife about it. I just feel like, you know, I got to just tell my story. I gotta go. All right. So how about you?
And parenting? A lot of us can relate with that. That's the beauty of it. Like you never did anything to harm anyone's character. You're just like, I love my parent Seth and you know, this is how I was raised. So it made me be better.
Yeah.
And they're with me now. We're still, you know, in a relationship it's just, so I get it. It's a different time. I mean, our parents, let's be real. Our parents were raised different than the way their parents were raised.
Right.
You know,
everyone's going to do better. So they should take it as a compliment. Hey, good job, mom. You raised a kid who wants to be better than how you were. That's the goal is. What, you want to be worse than you? What did you rather? I'm worse. My goal is to be worse, be a worse parent than my parent. And that's how bad I want to be. All right. So which of these do you relate with? Your parenting style is very similar, somewhat different, or very different, very similar, very different, or neither, about the same. Which one do you relate with? Pretty similar, pretty different, or very?
I'd say right in the middle, similar. Oh, no, hold on. Yeah, not a very and not a less than, but like in the middle, I see some things I do, and I do think some things differently.
So you're in the minority. I think you're in the 12% category. So it's like neither, similar nor different. It's kind of similar. It's like, it sounds like you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Not wildly different, not wildly the same.
Not wildly different.
If you had to choose,
the biggest thing
is it a little bit different or a little bit the same? Like which one?
I think for me, the biggest thing is my parents were divorced. So I was getting two kinds of parenting. I'm with my spouse now. So we're co-parenting. Yeah. So it's like, that's the main difference. I try to use some things and, you know. But I guess no. I mean we're definitely different. But not like drastic.
Not drastic. Yeah, I would say for me and my family, I'd say it's very, very drastic. All right. Yep. And what's interesting about this is that fathers are more likely to say they're raising their children a similar way than how they were raised. 47%. That really makes sense. Men can be very stubborn. They can be slow learners. Men normally have lower EQ than women do. And so half the men saying this, nope, I know how to raise the kids. It's just how I was raised. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
I don't need to read no parent book. Right.
That's exactly right.
That's my man voice right there. All right.
I'm gonna go back to that pile of parenting.
All right. Ready? How about this? All right. Percentage of parents saying that they feel judged by each of the following for how they parent their children. Ooh,
oh, this is going to be high for everybody. I'll tell you right now.
Judged. Percentage of parents who's saying they feel judged. All right. So let's go with this. How many parents say that they feel judged by their spouse or partner? Always, sometimes, or rarely / never. Let's say always or judged. So this is, think about this. Like if you're listening to this, you say, I feel so judged by my spouse.
Always. Majority is always.
Or you're like, you know, and I know my spouse feels judged by me. This is, what do you think the biggest number is?
Survey taken with what? 3,000 some individuals with kids between what, 0 and 18? Is that what you said in the beginning, I believe? Mm-hmm. So the younger parents are going to say always. I believe the older parents who've been together longer are going to say never because they've had time.
Let me see if I can read this article or the research quickly so I can see how it breaks down by age. I don't think I have that in front of me. But essentially what they're saying is that the number one answer is rarely or never. Half the parents said, I almost never feel judged by my spouse.
Yeah,
or partner.
Right. The majority of people's fights are about money and
rarely
children.
Rarely or never. That's what it says. So
but
if that
we
you,
know this.
Hold on. Let's just celebrate that for a second. You're getting all negative. I'm getting all positive.
No, these people are lying, Sean Donahue. These are liars.
No, they're saying half. Half these people are like, look, I don't feel judged by my spouse and how I parent. That's a great number. Now, 35% sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I feel judged. I'm
Yeah, but
I feel that way. I'm feel sometimes judged. Like,
but let's talk about everyone who listens to your podcast and says, hey, I can't get my husband to listen to you, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Already they're being judged by their spouse. Everyone who listens to this, the other spouse is judging them before they listen to this podcast.
Okay.
I know that's anecdotal and that's not part of the study, but what I'm saying is I don't believe that answer. Yeah. I believe all of them think they're being judged by their spouse.
Hmm. Well, only 18% says always or very often do I feel judged by my spouse.
Okay, fine.
Okay. How about this one? All right, I'll do one or two more on this category. Judged by their parents or their spouse's or partner's parents. These are the same All numbers. Right. All right, this is so true. Some of you have such judgmental parents. They're the grandparents, and they be judging you. Yes, this kid needs more discipline. Why do you let Johnny speak to you this way? Why do you give him that screen? Or, why do you give him only organic food? Like, why do you give him so much junk food? Like, so, dude, that generation is so judgy. Are we going to be judgy like them? They are judgy.
Dude, that's a good question. And you know what? We need to think about that. When we get to that age, when our kids are having kids, like, we need to not be judgy.
I'm pretty surprised how low these numbers are, though. All right.
All right.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Give it to us. Yeah, it's because all these people are liars. Okay, read it to me.
Well, it says here that only 14% are saying, I feel very judged by my parents or my, and we'll call them in-laws. Only 14% always being judged by Karen. I got a Karen, and my mom's a Karen, and she's judging me, or my mother-in-law. 14%
apologies to all you named Karen
out there. That should be like something on social media right there. 14% of you, send this to your mom, everybody. Send this video. Stop caring me.
Right. Okay, what's the other number? So that was very judged. What's the other one? Just judged?
29 to 27%. I sometimes feel judged by my parents.
So almost, you know, a quarter to a third almost.
Yeah.
Sometimes feel judged? Okay.
Yeah. And then my answer would be in about 50%. Rarely or never. Yeah, we do not feel judged by our parenting here in this house. We don't have any judgy grandparents. How about you? What's your answer?
Mine's on the lower side too. But I do know that it was a little bit of a wake-up call for them when we decided like no to spankings or really crazy timeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably were like, wait, why not? We do it all the time.
Okay.
But now that they're aware of it, it's NBD, no big deal.
NBD. Okay, everybody, I have two more surveys and you have to hang in for the last survey because I found it to be really, really, really interesting. Okay, ready? Here we go. Let's go with this one. Oh, this one is juicy. I'm going to skip to the end. All right. Percentage of parents saying it's extremely or very important for them that their children blank as adults. Blank as adults. Before I read you the options, what's your guess? Number one answer.
It's what I started with, right? Get a job. Take care of your family, right? Like,
I think I skipped that one. Let me go back. That is okay. That is the number one answer. Let's see. Here it is. Yeah, on one of the questions. Here it comes. Parents saying it is extremely important to find their children to each of the following as adults. Number one answer, be financially independent. 88%.
Okay. Yes.
Also, number one answer, have jobs that they enjoy.
Good.
41% earn a college degree. And that, of course, is really different. This is, listen to this stat about college. 70% of Asian parents say that it is extremely or very important to them for their kid to get a college degree. Makes sense with the stereotype, right? 70%.
Yeah. Okay.
Compared to 57% of Hispanic parents, 51% of Black parents, and just 29% of white parents. Isn't that interesting?
I think times are changing when it comes to the college degree idea.
As for me, I mean, I've got a master's degree and I don't really feel like my kids have to go to college.
I mean, I think we need to get back to being entrepreneurs, start your own business, go on an adventure that creates your own financial future rather than giving someone else's dream a reality by becoming an employee. But
my oldest daughter did. She had college. She had grades to get into good colleges, but she decided, I don't want to. I want to go start a business in sales. So she went to go in a sales position. She got promoted. She got another promotion. She got another promotion all while she was 18 years old. And then at 18, she started her own business. It became official when she was 19. And she's doing well. And then a couple of weeks ago,
she's got her own business as a 19-year-old right now.
She does, yeah. And then
it's amazing.
She said, "You know what? I'm working so hard, and it's going very well. But I don't want to be doing this when I'm 19. I'm exhausted. I'm 19. I'm going to." And so she quit, and she's moving back home to try to do something else.
I was going to ask if that business was profitable. I know how hard it is to start a business.
Very profitable, but she just decided, look, that's not what I'm about right now. This is not my calling. This is what I don't feel driven to just work 40 to 60 hours a week and make good money. This is not what I want to be doing. So how cool is the story is that?
That's pretty wise from a 19-year-old.
I know. So yeah, I'm really happy to have her. All right. Now this one's really interesting. Okay. What percentage of parents say it's extremely important to them that their children be honest and ethical? What number would you say? They said it's extremely important that my children become honest and ethical. What number would you guess?
The percentage of people who would agree with that statement?
Yeah, extremely important. We have extremely important, and then we have very important.
Those are the only two options?
That's it.
Okay, well then that changes my idea of the percentage. Let's say, 65% extremely important.
You're correct, 66%.
Okay.
And then
that's
very important says 28%. Which is kind of interesting. Why wouldn't you say extremely important that your kids be honest and ethical? Only like, it's like B. I need my kids to be a B in honest and ethical.
Is there a C? Is there a different? Is there a none of the above?
No. Like, they're just 66 plus 28 is 94%. So 48% said it's extremely important for my kids to be hardworking. 40% said somewhat, very important. Be someone who helps others in need. 40% was the number one answer. And then let's jump down to something very, very interesting. This really makes sense. Have similar political beliefs to me. How many said it's extremely important?
How many said extremely important?
How many said it's extremely important my kids have the same beliefs from me?
Oh, 80%.
4%.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's crazy.
Isn't that interesting? I did not see that coming.
Well, obviously it's your loved one. So like, it's like, no matter what, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're still going to love
me. Yeah. These are like extreme right wingers or left wingers, right? Extremes of the extremes.
I have a colleague in his family, his, his daughter has a completely different viewpoint than him. And it is hard for him. He's like, I don't understand how my daughter thinks. And they're so different in the way they think about stuff.
If you're
so
a professional politician, you would just be honest. Like, it'd be extremely important that my kids are on the same page. But the next answer would be very important in 12%. But this next 12% said that. This one I found to be probably the most shocking thing I've read in this entire survey as we come to the last two questions. This is the second to last one. Percentage of parents think it's extremely or very important for their children to have similar religious beliefs to their own. All right, take a guess. What do you think it is? Similar religious beliefs. How many said it's very extremely important that my kids have similar beliefs to me?
Maybe I should have put an 80% on that one. Is that too high?
So you think 80% of parents said it's extremely important that my kids have the same beliefs as I do?
I mean,
this is fun. It's just like a little game show we invented. Fun. You get some points.
What's cool is like it's America, so we have a blend of so many beliefs and so many religions and so many backgrounds. Some of them are more strict than others.
Sure.
Some people are more free than others. Yeah. So, I mean, depending on who they pulled from, I might be saying a little high. But I still think it's the majority. So let's say 70%.
Way off.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
The number is very, very low.
Really?
Really, very low. Not as low as
Do you find that politics. To be accurate?
I don't know, I'm just reading the research report. These are like
I'm not asking. I'm asking Sean Donahue, the family coach who has met with so many families.
I do. Let me
with different backgrounds.
Here's my social commentary on these numbers. First off, 70% of parents said it's extremely important my kids have the same religious beliefs as me. 17.
Oh. Wait, that's what I said. 17.
Yeah.
I said 70.
Only 18% said it's very important. So essentially 35% of parents saying, you know what? It's really important to me that my faith, my spirituality is passed on to my kids.
Only 35%. And the rest say they don't care.
Right. The rest said something else. So that would be 35% would be 65%. So let me tell you my social commentary on this. As somebody who loves my own spiritual beliefs, like when I say love, that's an understatement. Like I am so in love with my own religion, my faith. It meant so much to me. It is who I am. It's got me through so much. It brings me so much hope and joy and order and vision for my life and my internal life, for my marriage, for my morals, for how I want to raise my kids. My answer would be either extremely important or very important. I think it'd be extremely important.
Right.
I would be in the same.
And when you look at.
Because I would be lying if I didn't say extremely, because that doesn't mean I'm going to force it on them. I'm just saying it's extremely important to me. Just like it's extremely important to me that my kids are healthy and happy.
Good grades are happy. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But that's why I find these numbers shocking, because when you look at the majority of America, you still have above 50% who has this kind of background and belief of believing in something.
Yeah. So here's my commentary is that could mean that 65% of the Americans who took this survey, they do not have a religious belief that they love so much that they want to pass to their kids.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? It's like they either like it or they don't like it or they don't have one. It's like, why would you want to pass on something that you don't love? You only want to pass on something that you really love or that really means something to you.
And that has helped you and you've seen it and it helps define you. Because almost if your kid doesn't see you or see that part of you, they're rejecting that part of you.
Right. So the best way for us to pass on things that we love and we care about, whether it be like financial sense or morals, hygiene, good oral hygiene, savings, spirituality, charity, is to burn with such a passion for it, to bleed in such a lovely, positive, inviting way that your kids see it. They see your passion. They see how much goodness it's bringing to you and to others and to the world. And then they look at you and they say, wow, maybe I want some of that. You know, that looks really interesting. That has meant so much to my parent and has brought them so much goodness. I think I want to copy that, right?
I mean, amen to that. But you know what the reality is? We have some people that look at life that way and they learn. And then we have people also who look at and be like, ugh, they think they're so high and mighty and they just get everything. They're so lucky. Yep. They always get what they want, blah, 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 looking at it the other way.
Yeah.
So it's all about viewability, how you view life too.
Yeah, how you view it. Like, taking that same point, what I thought of is if you're one of those parents, you're extremely, extremely scared of your kids getting kidnapped. It's going to leak out of your parenting. You're going to talk about fears. You're going to be overprotective. You're going to put your fears on your kids. And then instead of them just going out to enjoy a day at the park or at a school dance, they're going to have this scary voice. You know, your voice is going to become their inner voice. And then when they become parents, do you think they're going to be like, you know what? I want to raise my kids the same way that my parent raised me, to be as scared of everything. They're not going to do that because it's not good. It's not helping anybody, right?
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy to be overly afraid of your kid being kidnapped when the research just doesn't support it. It just means you've been watching too much scary news. Let's go on to the very last one. We did it. You ready for the last one?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah.
This one is really, really lovely. And that's why I wanted to leave it for the last. All right. The vast majority of parents say being a parent is blank. The words we're going to choose from are rewarding.
Beautiful. Enjoyable. Rewarding.
And rewarding. You picked one of them. Enjoyable. Tiring. Stressful. Or stressful. Here's your options. Ready? Percentage of parents saying that they find being a parent to be rewarding, enjoyable, tiring, and stressful. All of the time. How many parents said it's all of the time it's rewarding versus most of the time? Some said all of the time it's rewarding. How many said that?
5%.
36%. It's always...
These numbers are ridiculous.
You're laughing.
These numbers are so ridiculous.
It's kind of like, come on, dude. You be lying.
I don't know how to get into the psychology of these people. Well, okay. 36% says it's always rewarding.
The number one answer
was...
When that
kid goes poop and takes his hands down his diaper and rubs it all over your walls.
Oh, dude.
It's rewarding.
Teenagers is so hard. Like, they sleep, you know, till 10 or noon, and then they're going to stay up all late, and they're like, the number one answer is most of the time it's rewarding. 44% most of the time. Would you say most of the time it's rewarding, or would you say sometimes?
Oh, I would say most of the time.
Most of the time. How about enjoyable? All right. How many said it's all the time it's enjoyable? How many said
I'm not guessing anymore.
25%. That'd be lying.
45%?
No, 20. 25.
Oh, 25.
Number one answer was most of the time it's enjoyable. I don't know.
Yes, most of the time.
Most of the time?
There are some hard times. Yeah, majority.
Sometimes. Or most. Yeah, it is most of the time.
For me, 51%
is most of the time.
Yeah.
51% is most of the time. How about this one? I don't understand the survey. Some of these things. Tiring. All the time. Or most of the time. It doesn't. Too bad we don't have sometimes.
And
you know,
most of the time.
Tiring.
Most of the time.
Number one answer was most of the time. Is 28%. Tiring. 14%. And stressful. All the time. How many parents said it's all the time stressful? Because if you've got like three kids. My mom had three kids in diapers. I mean, three kids in diapers, man. I mean, that's stressful all the time.
Well, let me get into the psychology of who took this test. The number third answer at the beginning of your question was worrying that their kids were going to get kidnapped.
That's so good.
If we're wondering how stressful people are, it's going to be a high number.
Right. But, or let's just have compassion for those people. Maybe like if you live in some of the inner cities, because they said in this, we went to all these neighborhoods to find people.
No, I get it.
Maybe people really, really are a lot scared of sex trafficking and kidnappings than people living in the suburbs or something.
Correct. And that's why the survey. Sorry. I hit my microphone and just went everywhere. That's why in the survey, I mean, you said it breaks down all these categories. So anyone's interested, they can kind of look at it to see, you know, where they lie. If they're an inner city listener, if they're a suburb listener, if they're, you know, make this much money in their tax bracket or this much, and maybe it'll break it down that way.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, we did it, man. We got through the basics of parenting in America today. parenting in America today. And I just think that I hope that whatever you are feeling right now, I hope that you choose to be grateful. I'm going to choose gratefulness right now. I don't care how my numbers compare to this survey. I'm just grateful for my kids. I'm grateful that today is a new day and that I can choose my own joy, choose my own happiness. I can choose love despite my circumstances. And I'm just grateful that there's not one way to raise a great kid. You know,
truth.
There's not one Speak. Neighborhood. There's not one. There's not. There's right. a whole bunch of ways to enjoy your parenting and raise great kids. And I'm just grateful for that. And that's something that comes out for me when I hear all this research.
I'm grateful that when we hear this, we still have the power in ourselves to change the way we think about things and change the way we parent about things. That's if we good. Were stressed about X, Y, or Z, we don't have to going forward.
Wow.
So either way you look at it is you can change different things and ways you look at life and how you parent. And ultimately, that's why we're here, to listen, to learn, and to get better.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a good parent. Oh my gosh, family life and parenting is so hard. I hope today gave you some tools and some inspiration. And if you're enjoying this podcast, then please do me a favor. Leave us a positive review on your podcast provider. And if you're hearing this and you're struggling as a parent, your family is struggling, or you need parenting tools for that one challenging, struggling kid, well, I will see you in a live Zoom call inside my VIP membership, and I will give you the specific tools you need to solve every problem you have and to stay strong, be close, and teach with.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. All easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Choose from our huge inventory of boards, decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers to build your project to last. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck and fence design programs at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save